Show podcast for December 10th, 2007. How are you feeling today, Edge Guy? You got good vibes about today's show?
I am excited as always.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it today. I think it's going to be a pretty bad one.
Oh, don't say
I
that.
I would discourage people from listening to it, honestly.
Well, see, now, if you will it is no dream, Mike.
What'd you say?
If you will it is no dream.
This is what I get for being gay like you for a little bit. Just, I guess I should go to the rundown now.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Wait a second.
Ooh, good call. Okay, you do the rundown. I'm going to grab a drink. We're off to a great start already.
That's a Vanilla Zero Coca-Cola. You can't really tell the difference, I think. Although I don't know what the difference is between Coke Zero and Diet Coke. Do you? What, you're just making face gestures?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's really neat.
Thank you.
Planning it. Oh, the refrigerator is just there.
Yeah, I got a mini fridge down here, remember?
Well, I hate to say it, but while you were gone, I have not done the rundown or anything productive.
I heard you. All right, let's actually start, shall we?
Well, if you want to. Okay. The rundown. That's when we talk about what's on par for today.
News.
Yeah, we start with news.
Best ever.
Best ever. We're continuing our best game of the year, so we have our number four picks today. Our week in gaming.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the games we've been playing. Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. I couldn't forget that one. Downloadable game releases.
That's it.
Weekly game releases. And the 411 on 411.
You've only been doing this for 3 months, and you almost got it.
I don't know. I've been lighting candlesticks for the last 3 hours in Final Fantasy IX.
Oh.
It's like the only thing on my mind.
Yeah, I was looking at what you were doing. It looked pretty tedious.
Well.
Well, let's save it.
No, wait. No, let's talk about it now for a second, because I did. There's always a part in an RPG where it's like, pick your party to go do this one thing. It's like, oh, man, I'm picking my best people. Mm-hmm. And you go there, and while you're there, you level up 10 times. And then, like, it's like, meanwhile, and it goes like the other 4 losers you don't want to be in your party. Like, we're going to go through a dungeon too. And, like, it's like, oh, this is great because they're all horribly low leveled and it's very difficult and frustrating.
Right.
But why don't you just go ahead with the news?
Okay.
If anyone's still listening.
Well, here, we'll start you with something cheery then. We'll talk about some Super Smash Bros. Brawl updates.
The online update?
Was that?
The online.
Yeah, well, let's start with the depressing. Technically, last week the game was supposed to come out.
Kind of weird that I should be playing it right now,
yeah.
But
on the day it was supposed to come out, we found out that the game is using friend codes, but it's only 12 digits instead of 16.
Yeah, but you're kind of skipping over the
well, yeah, I'm getting
exciting.
To it. It's going
to
be the game is going to be basically a self-contained version of Xbox Live with a friends list. You could join their games, see what they're doing. It's all very nice.
I was not expecting the online to be that good.
No, it's quite robust, especially for a while when we were worried if it was even going to have it or not.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm happy that it's going to be the best online game for the Wii.
They're also doing something that I find extremely cool.
Yeah.
If someone drops from the game, the AI will seamlessly replace them. As long as there's no voice chat in the Wii and the system doesn't tell you, you basically never even know if the guy dropped from the game.
Yeah, some people don't really like that, but I think it's
I'd say it's better than the game just stopping.
Yeah. You know what's another thing? How, like, you fight strangers? I don't know if I'm necessarily going to miss, like, voice chatting with random people.
Right.
You know? So, I don't... You think there's going to be some stat tracking here?
Don't push your luck.
What?
Don't push your luck. You're getting a friends list.
Mario Kart DS had stat tracking.
This is true.
That's why Prime Hunters on the DS had stat tracking.
We'll get... I don't think we're going to get, like, Halo 3 level things where you can go to a website and check out stuff, but... Probably
that's
at least
what, that's what Mario Kart had. That's what Metroid Prime had.
It did?
Hunters. Yeah.
Really?
They had websites.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Huh, cool. Maybe it will then. Good.
Okay. I'm schooling you today.
Yeah.
Is there any other Smash Brothers news?
No, that's all I got, unless you got anything else you want to talk
about.
No,
that was about
okay.
it. But only 2 months for us. Well, at least we want to talk about the Europeans, not sure when
yeah,
they're getting it.
I was going to talk about it, but I don't really know how many European listeners we have. But just in case, they won't be getting the game until like June or something.
Yeah, you should have an American Wii. You should be importing everything.
Yeah.
Maybe. They should be happy that they can get Nintendo games easily now. Back when I went over to Europe, I mean, you went to a video game store, whatever their stores are called over there. I think they were just called Game.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. But, like, I mean, like, Nintendo was off in its little corner pushed to the back. understand it's a very different situation there now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that segues nicely into my next point. Apparently, Nintendo, realizing that there are no Wiis to sell, and the ones that do show up seem to go pretty quickly, they are going to cut Wii advertising in the UK and replace it with more DS advertising, which also sells like hotcakes, but at least there are units on shelves to sell.
Yeah. Now, they said they haven't done that here, but I haven't seen very many Wii ads lately.
Nah, there were those Wii would like to play ones at first. You still see those on occasion, but, I mean, heck, there's enough stories on, like, CNN and everything that's enough free advertising for them.
I know. I mean, I saw, like, just, like, on a mainstream website, I don't forget what it was, like, MSN.com, they're doing an article about, oh, grandmothers love to play Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, a new thing, but, you know, it is a video game article on a mainstream website.
Yep. All right, let's go to the fun stuff, the whole Gerstmann, Kane, and Lynch saga. As it kind of comes to its anticlimactic conclusion.
It is. People are just kind of...
It's dying.
They're just... I don't know.
Well, I'll start off with the amusing part first. On the Kane and Lynch official website, they had these, in the full Flash intro, these glowing five-star reviews from GameSpy and Game Informer. The GameSpy review quote was, "It's the best emulation of being in the midst of a Michael Mann movie we've ever seen." The Game Informer quote, I didn't copy down, but it was also something close.
Yeah, it's positive, and they were from the previews,
yes,
basically.
Yes, both were from the previews of the games. And then
both didn't even
GameSpy
game.
Gave it a three stars, and Game Informer gave it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, so they're lying.
Yeah, so they have since removed those.
And then I love how they actually want to defend themselves by saying, oh, it's just like a graphical thing.
Yeah, it's outright lying. That's what it is.
Well,
it's hilarious.
It's like, all right, guys, you're either jackasses or retards. Which is it?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I went to, like, their forum on Eidos' webpage, mm-hmm. which that's how you pronounce it,
yes,
right?
Eidos.
I was saying Eidos.
Eidos,
yes,
Eidos,
Leslie,
Eidos, I think it's
whatever.
Eidos.
But, I mean, they had one thread for this, and basically there was people coming in to complain, and then you had, like, all the Kane and Lynch fans, like, they do exist, like, just complaining about how everyone's picking on Kane and Lynch, and they were talking about how this was here, like, months ago, and no one complained then, ignoring the fact that nobody cared about Kane and Lynch until...
Yeah, that's why.
Well, like, the thing that struck me, first off, like, a moderator, like, respond to somebody who's saying, like, this is, like, bad and evil. And he's like, oh, no, people are manipulating things to increase profits. Woo. As if, like, we're dumb and, like, we shouldn't be questioning the morality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst thing, then, like, the page only, this thread was, like, designed to be, like, the page to talk about this. And, like, three pages into it, the same moderator just closed it. Like, this is over. This is dumb. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Right.
But anyways, GameSpot, they put up their, like, video podcast.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. You did, right?
Yeah, it was really weird.
Describe.
Like, they're all...
I heard it was, like those things you see at the Oscars when, like, somebody died.
It was. It was, like, a funeral. It reminds me of, like, the Raw for, like, wrestling. Like, the Raw after somebody dies. No, seriously. Because they bring out all the wrestlers, and they're all just standing there. They're all looking really sad. Like, a couple of them are, like... kind of crying, and like the boss is saying something. That's exactly what it was. They're all just standing there, and I mean, I guess the guy's in charge. I don't know the GameSpot editors by name. He's
right.
Just talking. He's holding back tears,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, he's like, at one point, he goes to someone else, like, "Oh, you want something to say?" The guy's like, "No, man." He's like, "All right, then." I mean, it's so like weirdly dramatic. And then like they did a clip show, and then they came back to them, and they're like, "This is what Jeff would have wanted." It was just so weird. I mean, it was nice.
Yeah. I mean. It's clear the editors at GameSpot, regardless of we may never know the true reasonings for his firings, but clearly the editors at GameSpot are not happy about it. The way it was handled, if they know why he was fired, apparently they're not happy about that. And I mean, really, they just saw their colleague, and to some of them, their mentor of 11 years, just get kicked out the door. And they kind of got this now, this kind of paranoid who's next mentality there, it seems.
They might want to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'll go in. There's a whole bunch of bullet points I took down of... I mean, there's so many stories about this that were going on over the week, so I'll try to go over some of the big ones. Kotaku reported rumors of mass resignations at GameSpot over the whole incident. An anonymous source quoted as saying, "Our credibility is in ruins."
Either first off, this never happened. Maybe it's not happening right away, or all those people since, I don't know, decided not to resign all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't feel like we're going to be seeing a mass resignation, because I don't think the CNET employees would they'll do a lot to not let that happen.
Yeah.
Because then what are you going to do?
Yeah, they're screwed. 1UP kind of dug up some information. It was kind of already known. They just kind of collected it. But to quote 1UP's story, our sources indicate CNET management had been dealing with a series of advertising versus editorial issues on GameSpot. Ratchet Sony Computer Entertainment America came down on the site for scoring Ratchet and Clank Future Tools Destruction a 7.5 just a few weeks prior to the Kane and Lynch incident. And the Eidos Interactive situation was where they finally drew the line. But, I mean, the only thing, like, GameSpot made their official statement, and they basically have flat out said his firing had nothing to do with his Kane and Lynch review.
No, they said, what they said is Eidos did not pressure them to fire him.
Yes,
and
that
that's
is
like
true.
That's the thing I'm getting from Eidos, is they're all like, no, we didn't get him fired. And I don't think anyone thinks like Eidos is like, you're going to fire him. They're like, oh, all right,
yeah, but
Eidos.
I'm sure Eidos bitched and complained. GameSpot management may have complained. Yeah,
and
it may
sure
have been like,
same,
you know, we don't want to deal with this. Let's just get rid of the guy.
That's what happened. Look, what else could he have been fired for?
Stealing paper clips? I don't know.
No, it's either this or it's like something really weird and we're going to find out about like he's like a child pornographer or something. And they're like, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
I guess he should have been fired. We all look stupid. That's why they're not telling us right away. That's why he's not saying anything. I don't know. That's like the only other thing it could be for me, it seems like.
Right. But the thing is, to go back to the 1UP quote, I mean, to listen to other editors from various sites and magazines who've talked in this incident, a publisher's bitching about review scores is nothing new. And I don't know. Some people speculate because the guy who replaced Greg Cassavin, who was the editor-in-chief at GameSpot, he comes from more of the business side rather than the editorial side of the business, so maybe he sees this all as like, well, this must be dealt with business-like, and his answer is just to fire people. I mean, so much this is screwed up. Well, but the biggest point that I've heard made by people is whether or not he was actually fired for his review, that's not the issue. The issue for a lot of people is the fact that people suggest that, and we don't laugh and say that's ridiculous. That is a feasible reason for why he was fired. And Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of the Games for Windows magazine on the GFW podcast, was saying that what needs to happen in his kind of ideal world, and it's not, is the problem with all the gaming sites and magazines is they advertise the product that they're criticizing. Because when you open up TV Guide or Entertainment Weekly, there's ads for food, restaurants, Mountain Dew, stuff like that. And yeah, there are some movie ads in there too, inevitably. But until game sites are just like advertising clothing and soda, really they're kind of like biting the hand that feeds them all the time, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a bit tempting. Like with TV, a lot of people watch TV. Mm. Like, you know, who's going to want to advertise on a video game website? Well, people are making video games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Like you said, it's like this idealized thing that'll never happen. Gershman has spoken to MTV Game multiplayer blog's Steven Totilo. He had a quote, "As for the future of game journalism, you ask if it's realistic for readers to expect a church and state separation between editorial and sales. Realistic or not, I think readers should demand that from a publication." I mean, he's being kind of vague, but people seem to think what he's implying is that this line is kind of getting destroyed and something needs to be done to stop that.
I don't know. It's hard to say until he says something.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything definitive.
They're tiptoeing around the issue.
Yep. And the video review that was pulled is back up on the on GameSpot. Apparently on the Hotspot podcast, Ryan McDonald said the review was taken down not because of advertiser pressure, but, quote, the quality was not what they do. Apparently, Jeff was late getting there that day, and it was only footage from the first level, and the audio equipment wasn't set up right.
They said the same thing about the written review, and I saw, side-by-side comparison of, before and after it was edited.
A ton of edits.
And it wasn't just, cleaning up stuff, you know? I mean, there was definitely a lot of changes in tone.
Yeah.
A lot of replacing negative words like ugly with other things.
And here's what I don't get about that. I mean, the publishers live and die by the review scores in Metacritic. So I don't really think they care what the review reads like. They just care about that number. And I think, GameSpot only can't flip-flop on the number because that's, kind of admitting defeat.
Yeah.
But to change up the wording, which I guarantee you 80% of the people don't even read, they just look at the numbers and make their judgment.
Well, I can tell you right now, what Eidos got upset was that Jeff used the word ugly a lot in the review. Like, that's like the opening sentence is, Kanan Lynch is an ugly. Well, I'm not disagreeing with it, but I bet they thought that that was harsh.
Well, when you look
and
at
I
the
mean,
game,
I can
like,
see how
when
they
you look
maybe
at the screenshots
that.
And video I've seen.
No, it's an ugly game.
Well, I mean, like, the character models for Kanan Lynch, they look pretty good. And then every other guy in that game looks like a Ken doll. Like, it's like this game needed 6 more months. It really did. This could have been... I
don't want to actually talk about Kanan Lynch.
Yeah, I know. But I'm still of the opinion, like, just on the game itself real quick. If this game was given 6 more months of dev time to make it look really good, and it was released in what tends to be the dry summer season, it could have been a summer hit.
But I don't know. Just games like this... I mean, look, another game that's kind of like Kanan Lynch, Army of Two. And now we're hearing...
Oh, we're hearing all kind of bad things about that
game. Yeah, we're hearing it's
game.
Horrible. Army of Pooh, I think,
yes.
One previewer said. Like, somebody, I forget who now.
Someone
feel,
got, like,
I feel
review
bad not
code
to it.
Right before they delayed
it. It was review code, but then, like, they suddenly said, oh, then it got delayed, so it wasn't review code anymore. They said it was juvenile, downright insulting, like, you know, racist, practically, and just, you know.
Yeah, I think the guy said something like, it seems like the game was meant by a 10-year-old who hates them Arabs.
Right. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. If you really got yourself excited for games like Kanan Lynch and Army of Two, I don't know. There are games to get pumped up about. You can get pumped up about your Zeldas and your Halos, but please, show some more strain. All right, what else you got?
More corporate politicking. Harmonix apparently announced they had a patch ready to go for the PlayStation 3 version of Rock Band to allow the Guitar Hero Les Paul controllers to work in the game. Going so far as to say, like, when they posted this on their forum, they were like, it'll be up tomorrow. Then tomorrow came and went, nothing happened. The rumors, this hasn't been substantiated yet, but the rumors are that Activision is trying to prevent that patch from happening. And I really don't get that at all. Because if anything... This means people are more likely to buy their game and get the second guitar that way rather than wait until they can buy the Fenders separately in a few months. Like, doesn't it benefit them to have their guitar work with more games?
I don't know.
You look very inquisitive there for a second. Like,
I'm really confused what's compatible to what, honestly. I don't even understand.
On the PS3.
Don't explain it.
All right.
Please.
There's charts online if you want to look it up.
It's just stupid.
I don't see why you wouldn't...
I think this is one of those things, and this happens a lot, where people get more upset than they really need to be.
Well, it's understandable, because on the PlayStation 3 right now, there's no way to get a four-player game going unless you have a friend who also bought the game and they bring their Fender over.
Okay, fair enough. But still, I don't
know. That's
why
I get a 360. Some more hardware crap. Time Crisis 4 has come out. Comes with the GunCon 3 controller. Has the two-player split-screen multiplayer. So good. You know, so far so good. They will not sell the GunCon 3 separately. So you can have two players. In fact...
Oh, you have to buy the game twice?
Namco Bandai's official word is just buy the game twice. It's a $90 game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Why would you not sell the hardware?
Don't they plan to, like, have more games to support the GunCon?
Apparently not.
Bring back Point Blank or something.
Yeah,
please.
Seriously. I mean, there's potential for it. And they're the ones who talk about how great it is and how much more accurate it is than the Wiimote. They don't seem to be too proud of it.
Well, I would have been interested in a Time Crisis 4, really.
I know.
That package should come with two freaking Gun Cons.
Seriously. Or have, like, a package that's two Gun Cons or something.
Yeah.
All right, here's some good news.
Oh, boy.
FASA studio founder Jordan Weissman, who since FASA was shut down by Microsoft, has his new startup company Smith & Tinker, and they have reacquired the licenses to MechWarrior, Shadowrun, and Crimson Skies, all back from Microsoft. They haven't announced any plans what they're going to do, but one could expect all three games, or three franchises, will see games in the future.
Yeah, don't get too excited. They'll probably go to Mech Assault first.
Well, no, see, I honestly think Mech Assault was a Microsoft mandate. Because they were making the hardcore MechWarrior games for years, and then Microsoft picks them up, decide they want a game for the Xbox Live service, and they probably said, like, just make some quick little action game with the robots in it. So I'm hoping that if this guy makes it, like, the next MechWarrior game, like, I think it'll be MechWarrior 5 if they keep the numbers going, like, it'll be back to that hardcore, like, mech game.
I guess. I mean, that was never my kind of thing, but I won't be upset.
I'm just hoping they make another Crimson Skies. because that game is spectacular. Oh, yeah,
that deserves to have a new game.
I should have mentioned this earlier, but whatever. Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii, we all know about how it has mono sound. Activision has come forth and said they will offer replacement discs in early 2008 that have the sound fixed.
Every week, it's people complaining, or people patches, or add-ons, song packs. God, I'm sick of this. You can have a freaking podcast about these freaking guitar games.
You really could.
And I'm sick of it. I understand we have to report it, but God, is anyone else out there just sick of it?
Yeah, it is getting to be a bit much.
I mean, there's problems. They're popular. There's patches.
That's why they they're popular. There's always news about it.
I liked them back when it was Guitar Freaks. No one had any idea.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to bring the game over because they didn't think there was an audience
for
it.
We should get like a t-shirt with like the Guitar Freaks controller and say like, I was playing guitar games before you ever knew what they were.
I guess.
I think it'd be sweet.
Yeah, you would think that'd be sweet.
Patches, you say. Patches.
Oh, God.
Sony's Eric Lampell promises fewer firmware updates. This comes from an MTV multiplayer blog interview. He says, we're trying to certainly cut down on the amount of times we do it, but on occasion, when we've got these good features ready to go, let's give them out to the consumers. Let's get them out there. We definitely understand that it does happen frequently, and that can be somewhat annoying to some users. What I say to him is, they could have the number of patches they put out if they would maybe test these features after they get them. Because how often is it PS3 firmware comes out, these new features, oh, people download it, these features are all broken. 2 weeks later, another patch that takes just as long to download to fix all that stuff.
You know what's interesting, though, is like think about how different the 360 is as a system from 2 years ago.
The 360 dashboard update came out Tuesday. In 5 seconds, I counted, it was downloaded and installed.
I know you love it, but listen to my point. Okay, the 360 is almost a completely different system than it was 2 years ago with all the patches updates. PS3 is a very different system than a year ago. Like, how did we ever get along before when, like, you had one shot at making your system?
Well, remember,
you get to release special patches.
Remember
online.
You first turned on the Sega CD and it would go to, like, the little, it's like dashboard rather than booting up a game? You're like, ooh, what's all this? Like, the Saturn and Dreamcast had that too, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, kind of where it started. Like, because, I mean, it was unheard of back in, you know, the old days to, like, you just put in the game and started playing. You didn't do anything else.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah. They're lucky they have this online luxury, and I think they're kind of using it as a crutch. Like, I think they get features out missing some things. Like, well, we can just get out later.
Exactly.
And, like, sometimes they don't. Sometimes things get compromised, you know.
Look at home on the PS3. That should have been there day one.
Yeah, it should have been. Now
that speaking of, weren't we supposed to get the beta for that in November?
Us?
Yeah, everybody. Then didn't they say that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Call of Duty 5, rumored to be going back to World War II and will be developed by Treyarch.
Well, I mean, I figured it would be Treyarch because, you know...
It goes every other one.
Yeah, but I mean, back to Call of Duty 2, I mean, it's like a literal step backwards. Like, it already is going to be in terms of quality. I didn't know it was going to make it so blatant.
Call of Duty 3, didn't bother playing. Call of Duty Big Red 1, which was the first Treyarch one, didn't bother. It's like, I think people have figured it out that, like, get the even numbered games.
Well, I'm sure Call of Duty 3 probably still sold well.
Oh, it did all right, or else they wouldn't be doing it like this. But I liked when Activision Blizzard had their conference call, their CEO, whoever it was, and this was shown in the Penny Arcade comic, he actually said, you can expect all of our franchises will be exploited on a yearly basis.
Was that who said that? The EA guy?
No, the Activision guy who's in charge of Call of Duty and Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero.
I appreciate his sincerity.
Yeah, that's true.
And his honesty.
I just can't. I mean, the Penny Arcade comic nails it. Like, what was this guy thinking?
I don't know. I kind of like it, honestly.
It is somewhat refreshing, yeah. And lastly, GameTap will be losing 7% of its titles.
Why?
Apparently, EA, Interplay, Atari, and some of the less-known publishers are going to end their affiliation with the service on December 11th. We're losing, like, a bunch of... a lot of kids' games, really. Nothing too substantial. Like I think like a few of the old Sid Meier's games are going.
I think a lot of people, you know, everyone's doing the console things, obviously. And I think on PC, we're going to see a lot of, like, publishers starting their own things.
Well, I think what it is, too,
is... There'll be an EA service that'll be an Activision
that,
service.
Or even just, I think they want to get their games off GameTap. They realize there's a viable market for their stuff put on Steam or something. Or, yeah, like EA has their own thing, I'm sure... The other people are thinking about cooking something up.
Game Tap's future is in more episodic content like Sam Max.
Yeah. I think new content. They got that American McGee thing coming.
Wait, they have him? Oh?
Yeah, he's got some new thing. Oh, what is
oh,
it?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
All right. You said that's it for
that's
me?
The news.
Let me think if you got everything.
How long have we been recording already? Oh, well, 25 minutes. Not bad.
Okay, that sounds good. I guess we can move on to the best ever.
So, excellent.
So we're doing countdown to number one.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we did number five. Just to review, your number five pick was BioShock.
Yep.
Mine was Pokemon Diamond / Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go ahead?
Well, I went first last week. You want to go first this time?
You want me to that bad?
Sure.
Okay, then. My number four pick is Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition.
Interesting. You went with the shovelware.
What?
Shovelware. That's what's called when you port something to a future console.
Yeah. And
I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
And I thought about that. Like, it's kind of a port, but I don't know. When I just think about five games I had the most fun playing this year that were technically released this year, mm-hmm. I really, 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 really loved playing Resident Evil 4 on the Wii. I really do think, and some people, you know, disagree and agree. I think it plays the best on the Wii than it does on any other system.
Mm-hmm.
I think being able to shoot with your Wii and move with the nunchuck just works perfectly for me. And, you know, it was still a pretty good looking game. It holds up very well. And $30 too.
Yeah.
That was nice. And it had all the bonus stuff from the PS2 version. And, I mean, Resident Evil 4, I mean, you know, Game of the Year 2004, it still holds up very well today.
True. As a lot of the Game of the Year titles tend to do.
Yes. Well, you know, usually.
Mm. All right.
But I really liked Resident Evil 4 in the Wii.
Well, I'm wondering what you're going to think of my pick. You know, I might get some ire from you. But my number four is going to be Super Mario Galaxy.
That's all right.
Okay. I don't know if you're going to be upset at me for putting it
I don't.
Low.
I kind of figured it was going to be too high. So you haven't even beaten it yet.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, it is absolutely brilliant. It's a great, polished game. A lot of fun. I think the graphics are... Hopefully it's not the pinnacle of what we're going to see on the Wii, but it's the pinnacle of what we've seen on the Wii, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I think I didn't get super into it is... while you do have, like, the whole thing with the planetoids and everything, the gameplay is... more or less Mario 64, just polished to a sheen.
Right.
And but, I mean, it makes great use of the Wiimote. You know, it's not too unobtrusive, but, like, I couldn't picture playing the game without it. And the soundtrack, I'm still absolutely in love with. Like, I want that CD from Japan.
That's available in January. I mean, no, I'm not as upset at this choice. I'm still more perplexed by you giving BioShock number five, honestly.
Oh, really?
That still kind of threw
me off. I think when you see my top three, you'll understand.
I don't know, maybe. But, I can understand. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to say that Mario Galaxy isn't on my list. Obviously, I placed that higher.
Right.
Obviously,
I figured you did, yeah.
BioShock higher. But, glad it's on your top five. I hope you get around to beating it, because I really did enjoy the ending of that game.
Like I said, I'll get to this one. Well, here, should we go right into what we've been playing this week now, I guess?
I'm kind of short on best ever. I guess it wasn't much to do that.
No, I mean, the thing is, we've talked about these games already before.
Yeah, I guess so. Go ahead, then.
Well, what I've been playing this week has basically been Rock Band, to the point that, like, it cuts into my chance of playing anything else.
Yeah, it's true.
Because everybody comes over, they want to play Rock Band, and I'm like, yes, I do too. Let's do it.
Yeah, true. Everyone comes over, everyone wants to play Rock Band. I mean, I didn't play much this week because I had finals, but I played Rock Band.
Yeah, a lot.
I got the Black Sabbath pack.
Warpix is excellent in the game.
It is. I think the cover sounded better on guitar.
I agree. Too. But still, playing that solo at the end is way fun.
Yeah, it definitely is good. So, plus, we got our new, better working guitar.
Yes,
controller.
We did get our replacements, and it's fantastic. The drums, too. Like, as soon as Chris picked up that drum set, he did a song in Expert, like 99% of it, so it works.
Right. But something newer and more exciting, we got Uncharted.
Yes.
Drake's Fortune. Which I really do enjoy quite a bit.
Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Finally, a fantastic game that you can only get on the PS3. That I would say, people say they don't think it's a system seller. I think it's worth getting a PS3 for this game with, like, everything else out, too.
Yeah. I think by system seller, they mean, like, I don't know how many people are like, what's this on Charger X Fortune? Damn it, now I'm getting a PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I think a lot of people know about it, but when you show it to people, they're definitely impressed by it.
Yeah. I mean, oh, there's a lot to be impressed. I mean, I like the – it's one of those games for me where, first off, all of the mechanics of the game work very well, mm-hmm. I think. And, like, any slight problems might be in the mechanics. Like, the game's charm and, like, you know, a lot of, like, smaller things, like animation, voice work, completely kind of overshadow that for me. They completely cover up any flaws for me. So it's just a completely enjoyable experience throughout.
Some people say they find the setting to be a little generic.
The setting?
Yeah, they're like people dismiss it as Tomb Raider with a guy. But I really like it. It's modern Indiana Jones.
God, for crying out loud, for like the 50th time, people, this isn't Mario. There's not going to be a fire level.
Yeah.
There's not going to be an ice level.
And they even got Nazis in there.
I mean, to be fair, I didn't even like it when people say that complaint about freaking Super Mario Sunshine.
Uh-huh.
People in setting. Like, if you have a good setting, who cares? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's original or not. There's only so many places on Earth, guys. I don't know. I just hate that complaint.
Yeah.
Uncharted, gorgeous looking.
God, the cutscenes in that game are so awesome. Like, apparently Heavenly Sword has incredible cutscenes, but I didn't really play that.
I didn't want to play Heavenly Sword.
But, I mean, the cutscenes in this game and the acting and everything that goes into it are just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a good thing they said they already want to make a sequel.
Yes. Was anyone really surprised by that?
And I really like the shooting mechanics in that game. I don't know about the grenade thing. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it doesn't seem any more advantageous than just using the sticks to aim.
Yeah, well, like, the biggest problem is, you know, you kind of take your time with it, and, you know.
Yeah.
By the time you get set up, the people are long gone before you want to throw that grenade. All right, what else have you played?
Well, you got Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings.
Yeah, I haven't actually played too much of it yet, but I definitely like, you know, what I've been playing. It really is kind of like an RTS game with, so far, not just, you know, like, not very many units. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really interesting. It functions very well. It looks pretty good. It has a lot of the music from Final Fantasy XII, which is impressive.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Is there voice work in it?
No.
That's
not yet, anyways. Which is weird, because that Final Fantasy IV remake, I saw a pretty detailed trailer for that. That has a lot of voice work in it. Unless it's just something they did for the trailer, which I don't think they would do.
No, I don't think they would either.
But, I mean, yeah, they're going all out for that.
That's good.
I got some DS demos from one of those download stations.
We played the Dragon Sword demo, Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
It's like Zelda on crack.
Yeah, it really is.
It's really cool.
And I got Contra 4, which I got to play.
I didn't get to play it yet, but you still have it on your DS, right?
It's very Contra.
Yeah.
The demo level is a lot like the first level from the first Contra, too.
Oh, that's cool.
From the first Contra also, not the first Contra 2, which would be Super C. No, you know, sorry. The only problem is, like, I don't know, if maybe the demo's working, like, not to their advantage here, because I haven't beaten that first level yet, so it's kind of hard to convince myself I should buy this product if I can't, you know, get through the demo. But, you know, it's fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, I purchased my first PlayStation 1 game off the PlayStation Store, and that would be Wild Arms. And it's a game I completely missed, but the setting always intrigued me, the whole fantasy western thing. I've only played it for, like, an hour so far, but, it's really good. It has, when you're in the, like, just the overworld, it's 2D sprites, and they're very nice. Everything animates very smoothly.
Yeah, I went over there and I saw you playing that. I'm like, oh, it looks like a Super Nintendo game. I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, no, I mean, Final Fantasy VI arguably holds up better graphically than VII does. I know you don't entirely agree.
No, I do.
Do you agree? Okay, well, that's good.
But I just don't think, there's a lot of people who say that VII, like, holds up horribly, and I don't agree
with
that.
Yeah, it's not, like, bad, but. But then when you get into a battle in this game, it switches to full 3D, like much like Final Fantasy VII does. And they made it like in the PlayStation Store description, they made it like this was, you know, such a big deal. And I really want to say, like, they should modify these ads for 2007. Because you make the switch. I almost wish it stayed in 2D. I mean, I guess back in the day, this was like, oh, my God, it's 3D now. But
yeah, I think there was kind of an expectation there.
Yeah.
I mean, people were already, like, off-put enough by... Mm-hmm. You know what was... I think the most gorgeous 2D game, 2D RPG for the PlayStation 1 was Xenogears, I think.
I never played much
of that. I remember that looking very striking when Kevin, my one friend Kevin, used to play a lot.
But another thing I really like about Wild Arms is there's a lot of environmental puzzle solving, kind of like the kind of puzzle you'd almost expect in a Zelda game. And that's a really cool, you don't see that in a lot of RPGs, really, so it's really nice to see that in there. They're well implemented, and the way the game starts is there's only three characters in the game, And as it starts, you keep switching back and forth between the three characters. You get to pick. And I guess what's going to happen is eventually their stories finally do intertwine, and that's when you get
it's
the full
like
party.
It's kind of like that part of Final Fantasy VI where they get split up for a little bit.
Kind of, but they haven't even met yet. It's basically like,
well, yeah, I know.
It's basically like right now I'm playing the backstory.
Right.
And one weird thing they do, too, is like, I mean, it's clear there's the one character who's supposed to be the main character, and he never talks. And I only ever played as the one other character. He did. And it's weird that, like, the two characters you play as apparently do talk, and the one guy doesn't. I never liked the silent hero in RPGs.
I always have.
See, I never. Eh.
I don't know. RPGs, okay, but I thought you were going to say games in general.
Yeah.
I still love Gordon Freeman.
I mean, Gordon Freeman is,
I mean,
like,
this
my favorite character
ever. This debate
is
brought up so often, but, you know, whatever. Go on.
Yeah, and, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of it. One thing that I was hesitant to buy it until I found out you can do this, because we know you can put the PS1 games onto the PSP, and I did find out you can also transfer your save file back and forth.
Be a bit useless if you couldn't.
Yeah, well, apparently that was one of the features of one of the patches a few months ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, yeah, so,
is that
good game, and definitely worth the $6 download, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess so. This is kind of exciting. This is kind of the first big RPG we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the PS1 was really known more than anything for its RPGs.
Yeah, and I mean the way the PlayStation 3 handles the downloading and playing of those games is really quite good. And I can't believe they're not releasing more of these games. I mean, in Japan, there's a ton of them on the store. And they're just being really slow about it in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure they have their reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they are even bad ones. And I haven't really been playing anything else except for one other game.
I played some Mass Effect, and it's still going amazingly. I still absolutely love that game. And
I haven't seen you playing it.
I played it a few days while you were gone. School.
Oh, right. I was at school.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're done.
I'm done.
Did you said you downloaded Drill Dozer on your phone. Did you play that?
Drill Dozer? No, I said I saw it at the store for $10.
Oh. What store?
Target.
I thought you told me you, like, downloaded it on yourself, and I was so confused.
No. I just said they had it over there, like, on sale for $10, which I thought, like, was cool.
Oh. No. Now this all makes sense.
Okay, good.
Anyways, I already have Drill Dozer. That's a really fun
game. Yeah, that's why I didn't, like, buy it.
You need an L button, though, pretty badly.
Yeah.
So. All right, then. Let's move on to Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. All right. Well, I mean, you know, this isn't going to be very long this week. I'm going through 9. I got a lot of leeway in today. But like I said, I had finals this week. But I promise you, next week, 9 will be put on the shelf.
Oh, good.
I will have beaten 9.
I still maintain. I think you'll have it by Wednesday.
This Wednesday? We'll see. I'm at the point right now that we're like, I'm almost, it seems like things are getting slightly less like, character story driven, more like, oh, here's the overall character thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's now to a point where, you know, I where I pick the sorry, excuse me.
I don't think they heard that. I barely heard it, but
is this funny because I'm trying not to acknowledge it? just cut that out. But like, I'm getting to the point now where, like, I pick the characters that go with me to things.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're picking them, that means, you know, those characters don't really interact as well as they did earlier in the game when, like, oh, you know, they knew what characters
were going
to be
with me. It's part of that open-ended or linear debate and storytelling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of miss that. I don't know if it's going to last for too long. But, I mean, I think I'm about to get my airship. And that, you know, typically in these games when you get your airship, that's when it's more like, you know, you have freedom.
Right.
So it becomes less linear. I mean, you still have to, like, go to this place and that place. But you can go do this if you want to. Go get this summon, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point where I seem to be at.
Cool.
And that's all I got to say this week. All
right.
I already talked about it a little bit earlier.
Excellent. All
right, then. Why don't you talk about the downloadable game releases?
Okay. On the Wii Virtual Console.
Oh, wait a second.
Yes.
There's something else I want to talk about.
What's that?
Did you see this feature on 1UP.com called the Final Fantasy Series Roundup?
No, I have not.
Okay. First off, I don't hate 1UP. This isn't me trying to blast 1UP because, oh, it's like a competition, you know, thing. Something like that. But Jeremy Parrish, he wrote this article, and it's kind of like, you know how, like, they do, like, Buyer's Guide, like, the retro roundup,
mm-hmm.
where they go through all the downloadable games, like, oh, is it worth it or not worth it? You know, buy or don't buy.
Yeah, I did read this.
Yeah. He goes through every game in the Final Fantasy series and says that they're worth it or not worth it.
I don't think I saw that part. I read something else.
Well, they've been doing a lot of Final Fantasy features. Yeah. But I just don't... I don't really like this... The idea of giving a game a one-paragraph review and then, you know, rating it on a two-point scale system. If that makes any sense. I don't know. There's just some choices here I don't agree with. And just... Mostly, Final Fantasy VIII is put on the not worth it. And it's just about the only American-released numerical game not put there. Like, every other one is worth it. I don't
know. You said by your own admission that Final Fantasy VIII was really slow, especially in the beginning, and a little bit more hardcore.
Yeah, but if Final Fantasy III for the DS is worth it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, okay, and I guess I'll get to it. He said Kingdom Hearts 2 is not worth it. But he said Kingdom Hearts 1 is.
Not that different.
No, Kingdom Hearts 2 is just a better Kingdom Hearts 1. And he used the word here. Let me see. Find it real quick. A travesty. A travesty.
Whoa.
He called Kingdom Hearts 2 a travesty.
That's interesting.
And it's just, I don't know. You know what it's like when you see one of your favorite games ever. Like, and someone who, you know, you feel like has a good opinion about these things says it's a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're looking for. I won't say the whole thing, but I don't know. I was just kind of hurt by it. I see you're looking at it now.
Yeah, I pulled it up here to take a peek. The follow-up to Final Fantasy VII took the series in new and unexpected directions, much to the surprise of everyone who expected Final Fantasy VII Part II. Materia and armor were replaced by a system that allowed characters to fuse magic spells, their various stats, and summoning monsters became a more intrinsic part of the gameplay than in previous Final Fantasy. Its daring efforts made it a remarkable and controversial experience at the time, but unfortunately it's vaguely unplayable by current standards due to sluggish battles and a story predicated almost entirely on preposterous coincidences. A streamlined remake wouldn't be so bad, though.
But, okay.
He's got a point.
What point? Story predicated almost entirely on preposterous coincidences? That's like every Japanese RPG ever made.
Well, true.
Sluggish battles? According to what standards?
Well, a lot of people did not like the stock and draw system.
Yeah, I know they don't like it, but they call it sluggish. And then he basically faulted the game for not being Final Fantasy VII Part II.
No, he was just saying that's what people expected. He didn't say that was part of his problem with it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He brought it up.
No, he was just in his little... Much to the surprise of everyone who expected Final Fantasy VII Part II.
I just don't like it. If it's so unplayable, explain to me how I played it. That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Unplayable is a pretty strong word.
Oh, you did play through three.
Unplayable is a strong word.
Yeah.
A travesty is even stronger word. Are you reading the Kingdom Hearts 2 thing?
Yeah. Here. After the success of Kingdom Hearts, a sequel was inevitable. Unfortunately, Tetsuya Nomura's team didn't bother fixing the original's flaws. Like the button-mashy combat, instead they focused their efforts on amplifying its worst successes. The story, simply mysterious in the first game, is turned into a bloated, ill-conceived mess that makes a compilation of Final Fantasy VII look like a Dick and Jane primer. Gameplay death comes in the form of a lame contextual action button, and Mickey Mouse is a posturing goth. A travesty.
Okay.
He focuses on the negative. I mean, those are all valid complaints with the game, but
no,
there is
not.
A lot of good.
No, they're not. First off, okay, until Heavenly Sword, everyone loved those contextual button things. This was not that long after God of War 1
yeah.
when they started doing it, okay? And everyone liked it, and it was fine. Okay, calling Mickey Mouse a goth, why? Because he wore a dark hood?
He had zippers. Everyone had zippers in that game, but yeah.
And
well, I do agree. The story's...
And I never heard a JRPG story called, you know, ill-conceived. Oh my god. Like what, Final Fantasy VII isn't? I mean, look, I'll be the first to say, none of the Final Fantasy games have a very good story.
No, they really don't.
I haven't played a JRPG that has a very good story.
Nope.
I don't know. There's something about seeing one guy go through so many games so quickly and sort of... It's like Julius Caesar, you know? Or some Roman emperor with the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, executed or not. It just seems a little ruthless to me. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean,
you think I'm mad for no reason?
A little. I mean,
no.
Obviously they weren't going to give these old games like full paragraph, like full reviews, but.
Well, I don't think that should have existed.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb to like Kingdom Hearts 1 and not like Kingdom Hearts 2. Because Kingdom Hearts 2 is better than Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, I agree.
Kingdom Hearts 1 is frankly almost unplayable after Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
And not saying that Kingdom Hearts 2 didn't improve on Kingdom Hearts 1 is silly. Someone from EGM gave Kingdom Hearts 2 a 10.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it's his opinions. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, there are guys that went up in EGM who love Kingdom Hearts 2, like, to an excessive level.
I just wanted to bring it up real quick. We had enough time.
Okay.
I didn't talk enough about Final Fantasy.
Well, let's do the downloads.
Excuse me, I'm I excess.
You're excused. All right, first up on the Wii Virtual Console, the NES game Zanek, and those are all capital letters. It's a vertically scrolling shoot 'em up, because there's a huge lack of those on the Virtual Console. Don't bother, probably. For the Sega Genesis, Eternal Champions. Remember this game?
No.
It was Sega's stab at a 2D fighting franchise.
No.
They really promoted this game along with that thing, the Activator. That, like, octagon you stood in the middle of and you're supposed to replicate your moves in the game. Didn't work.
I don't imagine so.
And lastly, the Dynastic Hero for the TurboGrafx-16 CD-ROM. An action RPG featuring a cast of insect characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
These TurboGrafx games, they're something.
Hey,
there's
an ocarina in the game. It opens doors.
I tell you what, I mean, I didn't know there were this many TurboGrafx games. I wonder if they're almost, like, out of them. Mm. They've been releasing them every week.
Right. So the Xbox Live Arcade itself didn't see any new releases, just games added to the new Arcade Hits category that came with the dashboard update.
Arcade Hits?
Yeah, they're selling, I believe it's Bankshot Billiards and Luminous Live are down to 800 points.
How would I call Luminous Live an Arcade Hit?
Yeah. And, I should have wrote this down.
Well, they had the
it's Zuma, and what was that game? It was kind of like a Smash Brothers knockoff. The one with the furry critters.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
that
about.
That one and something else. They're down to $5. There were the Xbox Originals, though, which is now Microsoft's newly released program of downloading Xbox games. I didn't write these down. I just thought of it, but should put it. You got Halo, the first one, Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge, Crash Bandicoot to the Wrath of Cortex, Fusion Frenzy, Psychonauts, and Indigo Prophecy.
They're the only ones out of the big three that are offering last-gen games for download. Mm. Everyone else has backwards compatibility.
Right.
They have it too, really.
Yeah, these games are... Basically, all these games are is just the image of the DVD on your hard drive and running off the same emulator that runs the backwards compatibility. It's kind of an advantage to their backwards compatibility solution that they can do this.
Right.
The caveat is that any backwards compatibility issues that were on the disc are the exact same in these downloads.
Right.
But $15, especially for stuff like Indigo Prophecy and Psychonauts, is pretty hard to find.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The PlayStation Network High Velocity Bowling for $10. It's kind of like bowling. Wii Bowling. You simulate the bowling motion with the 6X controller.
Does it work?
Huh?
Does it work?
I don't know. I didn't really read reviews of the game per se. We got Wii Bowling. What do we care? And as I mentioned, Wild Arms is up to download from PlayStation 1. And GameTap, in spite of losing games, has a Perimeter on the PC. The guy at Kotaku, I read his little blurb about the game, seems to really like it. It's a RTS that it's supposed to be, a quote, he says, a great RTS for those who always wanted a game that was more defense than offense. So if you're like turtling, I guess.
What's this game called?
Perimeter.
Is it like tower defense?
I don't know. It's an RTS. Okay. Keep the perimeter up and protect your base.
Sounds like tower defense.
Maybe. A game called Carrier Wing from the arcade. It's a early Capcom shoot 'em up from the early 90s. And something called Blowout on the PC that I believe is another RTS. And people seem to say get Perimeter. Well, I mean, you don't have to get it. They're all free. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Talk about the real games coming out. Oh, look at this. December 11th, PS3 finally gets the orange box.
Oh, good.
I hope it runs, you know, better than people are saying it would.
Well, I guess the whole, because 1UP was the one who said that it was near unplayable.
Yeah.
they did get what EA told them was like near final code, and like it was their review code. And after they played that and reported it, you know, they called EA and they were like, you sure you want us to review this one? And apparently there was like some last minute changes that were made, and they gave like the actual retail copies, and they said like it still has frame rate issues, but it's not as bad as it was. And
all right, well, we'll see when it comes out. Universe at War, Earth Assault for the PC, December 10th.
I'm curious to see how that game. It's going to be cross-platform, Xbox 360 and PC.
Really? No, it's a Sega game.
Mm. It's also interesting that it's going to be the first, because it uses games for Windows Live for its online play, but it's going to be available to buy on Steam. So I wonder how like the two services will interact with each other.
Unreal Tournament 3 for the PS3, December 11th.
I wouldn't mind getting that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Especially since my PC can't play that game and you could get all the mods on it.
NCAA March Madness 08, 360, PS3, PS2, December 11th.
Okay.
Well, I don't really go for those.
I don't like basketball video games.
You've bought enough of them. Showtime Championship Boxing for the Wii, December 11th. I don't know. I want Punch Out.
Wii Boxing's fine.
Blacksite Area 51, PS3, December 10th. First person shooter. Super Swing Golf Season 2 for the Wii, December 11th.
Oh, is that the Tecmo one?
It's not We Love Golf.
Yeah, no, this is the one that came out like a little bit after launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's We Love Golf at? Is that out yet?
No, not yet. Apparently the guy who makes the game, in fact, does not like golf.
Whatever. I don't like golf, but I like those. I saw like you can get like different costumes for your characters, make them look like other Capcom characters.
Yeah.
Like Jill Valentine and some other people. It was cool.
Yeah.
The Golden Compass for PC, December 14th.
Sure, that's good.
Winter Sports, The Ultimate Challenge, Wii, December 11th. Winter Sports, kind of odd timing considering we're coming up on the Summer Olympics. What? Daishonraku 7 Exceed for the PS2, December 11th.
No idea what that is.
Lead an elite military force comprised of modern war technology against a fierce computer AI. A fancy way of saying we have no multiplayer. Galactic Civilization 2, Twilight of the Arnor.
Oh.
PC, December 12th.
That's a popular series. I always respected them because they don't put any copy protection in their game. They're like, you know what, we don't want to screw with you guys. We trust you like it, and you're going to buy it, and that's cool.
The Lost Crown, a ghost hunting adventure for the PC, December 10th. Mm. Yeah. Indianapolis 500 Legends, Wii. December 14th. Interesting how we see all these games that only get Wii releases these days.
Yeah.
None of them very good, but, you know, still. Luxor, Pharaoh's Challenge, DS. Puzzle game, December 11th. And Kawasaki 4x4 Quad Bikes, Wii, December 14th.
4x4, I believe is the correct way of saying that.
What'd I say?
4x4. Yeah, four-wheelers.
Yeah, my bad.
I think Chris flipped into
a ditch. I know what it is. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that as well.
Okay. We ready for the 411 of 411?
Sure, why not?
Well, first off, the 10th hour, which is, you know, the top 10 lists that we've been talking about almost every week by Derek Robbins. He does the top 10 best endings of all time.
Ooh, give me that list.
Well, I mean, you're sure because it's kind of spoilerific.
Well, let's just hear the games.
Oh, but here's the thing, though. For, like, even for Chrono Trigger, there's multiple endings. I didn't know this. I never beat Chrono Trigger.
And it's like,
he kind of says even in the title. But I guess I already saw it. But I'll go through it for you real
just
quick.
Just give me the games.
And I'll skip over Chrono Trigger because it's kind of spoilerific, I think. Number 10, Cubs win the World Series any baseball game with the season franchise mode. That's horrible.
That doesn't make sense.
He was a Cubs
fan.
It's
kind of a throwaway.
I guess it was funny. Well, at least he didn't say the Red Sox.
Yeah.
9, Final Fantasy 10. I guess I'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. I think I did have that ending spoiled for me.
8, God of War.
I don't know. Oh, I do know how that ends.
It's fine enough. 7, Metroid 1. That was a shock, I guess.
The shock was that Samus was a girl.
I would have put Super Metroid. I don't know. Ocarina of Time. I didn't like the ending that much for that. I still say Wind Waker has the best ending.
Oh, yeah,
ending.
Definitely.
5, Chrono Trigger. 4, Chrono Trigger. 3, Final Fantasy 9.
Well,
I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, don't read it.
Well, all these games I really haven't beat.
Yeah.
Number two, Earthbound. Number one, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater.
I haven't beaten that yet, so don't tell me.
It's a very long ending.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I don't know. But, I mean, for me, a lot of my favorite, when I think about it, like, a lot of my favorite game endings come from the adventure games I play. Mm-hmm. Those are always the most satisfying.
Is Grim Fandango on this list?
No. Well, he's probably never played it. Give him a break. But, yeah, Grim Fandango would probably be my number one. Mm-hmm. I'd get Super Metroid up there, probably. That's more of a last boss fight than a final boss.
Yeah.
I mean, final, I don't know. Game endings usually aren't very good.
Yeah.
They're usually not very satisfying.
It's kind of sad when you think about it.
I like Sonic Hedgehog 1's ending, where he's just kind of running along.
Yeah, he's like
yay! Whoosh. La 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 la.
Jumps at the screen, he's like, whoa, he's coming at me.
Yes, AJ. That was a good way to describe it. I don't know. I could sit here and think about some game endings I like better, but it'll take a little bit of time.
Half-Life 2 Episode 2 is a phenomenal ending.
I haven't seen that
yet.
You
need to beat that. That's a good ending.
I'm trying to think what other FPSs have good endings, because usually they're disappointing. Or they're big cliffhangers, because they're so sequel-rific.
The end of Half-Life 2 Episode 1 wasn't bad either. It was cool.
Okay, so we got Nintendo files. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the Nintendo column, Theo Frazier. Talking about Pokemon Snap and all that functionality. He's a big Tales of fan.
Oh, you like those.
Yeah, so he's talking about Tales of Innocence for the DS. He's got the trailer on there. I haven't looked into that. I should. I have a Tales of game for the PS2 I got last Christmas. I haven't opened yet. Because I, you know, did all this. First, I actually didn't because I was in the middle of Final Fantasy XII at the time. You know, ever since then. But he also has some stuff on Final Fantasy IV in the trailer I was talking about before. It's interesting because it looks like Final Fantasy III. But, like, just because Final Fantasy IV had better production values than 3 does, this kind of has better production values, just in terms of story and stuff like that. Like, 3's stories was pathetic. They even tried to pad onto it for the DS release. Mm. Wasn't much to do. The CG and stuff looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this trailer is so long, though, and it kind of shows you a lot of my favorite parts of the game. I don't know if I'm going to be ready to play 4 again.
Right.
You who never beat it might find it interesting.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to Mark Salmella of the Six Axis Report, because he called you out for his the Six Axis was the only article you didn't discuss. He says he's afraid to talk about you.
He said that?
Yes.
We always have witty banter going on in our links to each other.
Mark, I am not afraid.
Mark, do you listen? That makes me a little happy. What did you say exactly? I'm trying to get to
there
this
was no
now.
Full circle column this week.
Yes, finals. Sorry, everyone.
But the podcast is very good. Mike is afraid to talk about me, though, as he's discussed every other column but the Six Axis Report. He's afraid I tell yous. Oh, and Sonic CD is an amazing game. Did we talk about Sonic CD?
Yeah, because it was because someone was talking about overrated games, and they said Sonic CD was one.
Oh, yeah.
But, Mark, my friend, I didn't mean to skip over you. It's just I was just trying to...
He hates you.
No, you're not. I mean, let's face it, Mark. By the time I'm doing this and looking at the front page, you're not even on there anymore. You're already
gone. Old news.
I'm sorry. I'll make it a point. I'll make sure everyone knows to watch the Six Axis. That was my. That's how I got my start in.
Yeah, you were covering for him.
No, not for him. Somebody else.
Oh, that's
else.
Right. Then
I was
after
covering
you left,
for somebody
he took
else.
It.
And the guy never came back.
Right.
I think he still does some things for the site, just not much. And there was no Six Axis for a while. And I was very happy when Mark came and took it over.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He does a good job. And I like to ride him sometimes. And, you know, that kind of sounded wrong. I like to, you know, we have our thing going.
Yes.
No, that's not wrong, too. We make fun of each other. Okay, that sounded better. But besides that, we got, there's James McGee is bringing up the whole, you know, graphics debate. Which should be interesting. Owain Brimfield is looking at Shadowrun. The old Shadowrun.
Oh, on
you.
The Genesis.
Yeah, not the new Shadowrun.
No, you know what? I downloaded the ROM of that and played it for like 5 minutes and had no idea what the hell I was doing and stopped.
Fact or Fiction is talking about Assassin's Creed review scores. The new golden age of video games. You think we're in a golden age right now?
It's debatable.
When have we not been in a golden... I mean,
Well, that's the thing. The best years ever is always the year you're in. I mean, if we weren't getting better every year, that's a problem.
Well, I never really thought about that. What was the, for me, if I had to say what was the golden age, I would say Super Nintendo Genesis time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I didn't like the PlayStation 64 era that much, but I did a lot of PC gaming then, and that was a golden age for PC gaming.
Right.
And frankly, I might, if I had to, if I enjoyed JRPGs like I do now, I probably would have liked that a whole lot more that generation. But the GameCube, Xbox, PS2 generation, I enjoyed. I'm enjoying this right now. In the meantime, we've had pretty good handheld systems. I don't know. We've never been in a bad time,
no.
It seems. We usually, just because we have so many reliable franchises, and we have usually have a pretty good number of new IPs come out every year, maybe not as many as we would like, things are usually more or less pretty good on the games front.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be the first to say when things are looking bad. Yeah. But we're not there yet. But they talk about Knights, and, you know, that's Fact or Fiction. I hope I can get back on Fact or Fiction.
Yeah, yeah, I enjoyed your
You know, maybe
there.
I should get you in Fact or Fiction. It'd be cool if me and you did Fact or Fiction together.
Yeah, yeah, who's in charge of the game section? It's not Ash, so he's the whole site.
No, yeah, but he's not in charge of, that's Caleb.
Caleb. We'll do a Fact or Fiction, it'll be great.
But, well, he's not really in charge of Fact or Fiction.
Who's in charge of Fact or Fiction?
Tommy Kalama.
Tommy, set us up.
All right, I'll try to talk. There's a lot of people waiting to do Fact or Fiction. And you're technically not a writer for the site.
Well, let's fix that then. I could write. I studied English.
No, because then I'm not more special than you.
Uh-huh. The truth comes out.
Well,
speaking of special, is that the end of the 411 on the 411?
Yeah, I'm good.
I would just like to announce everybody that this past Saturday, Mr. Mike Minotti celebrated his 21st birthday. His first drink was a bottle of Romulan ale that I bought in Las Vegas in October that did not age very well.
I was a little disappointed.
And his birthday cake was a almost perfect recreation of the cake from Portal.
Yes, I was quite surprised by that.
And now standing in his room is the Mario Galaxy standee from GameStop that is constantly spinning in circles.
Yes, constantly, even when I sleep. So, it scares me a little bit in the middle of the night, but I like
it. Yeah, so once again, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. I guess we'll end the show on that awkward note.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll come again next year. We'll tell you all
it's
once
Christmas
more.
In December.
Christmas in December, very nice. Oh, we went over an hour again.
All right.
I'm glad we added this 4-1 on 4-1
thing. Yeah,
it's
nice.
Because we were kind of dipping under an hour
for a
while.
Yeah, we were like hanging at the 45-minute mark for some time.
I don't know what happened
to us. Yeah, it seemed like we were talking about this.
Well, because I think I was yelling at you for going a little long in the news, and I think you did trim back.
Yeah.
And news has been much better.
No, the whole Gershman stuff gave us a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't mean long. I mean, you know, you trim back on it. I just want to say at first that the news bored me to tears. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that to come out like that, but, you know,
I understand.
It's great now. I mean, hey, I had my problems at the beginning, too. Mm-hmm. You want to say something I did badly? What make you feel better?
There was a time you, like, forgot to do the rundown, and then there was a few times you screwed up the order.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, the beginning of this podcast.
Well, no. I think you were doing that on purpose.
I kind of wasn't, but I don't know, brain fart. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I'm going to play with my new Palm Trio.
Wait a second. I have to go into this. Oh, our brother, he for the first time in his life, he gets a nice phone.
He got the Razer 2.0. It's very nice.
It's a touchscreen. It's a very nice phone, $250. AJ, you want a new phone now because he's got one.
No, I've wanted a new phone for a year.
Oh, please. Well, now that he got one, it's like, oh, it's fair game. You go into that store. And you get the only phone that is more expensive than Chris's. The only one. And I tell you, you act like, oh, I didn't know.
I didn't. The girl at the store was like, this is the one I have. It's the best phone I've ever had. And I'm looking. I was like, well, this
is really
cool.
Of course she's going to try to sell you the most expensive phone in the store.
Well, I didn't even look at that.
This is the one I have.
Dad was just like, well, let's get that one. I was like, okay.
I get a 50% employee discount. So, you know, it's not $300 for me.
There was a $100 rebate.
You were insecure that Chris had a better phone
than
you.
That was not the issue.
I want you to say it.
That was not the issue.
Thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast, everybody.
Yes, check us out, the explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
That's our blog, but you can also see us on 411mania.com/games.
And the iTunes music store.
iTunes music. We're all over the place these days.
Yes.
We're catching
everywhere.
On.
We need a MySpace. Then we're hip. I'm joking.
411 has a MySpace.
Really? Well, they're hip.
Maybe we'd have MySpace friends. It's not a horrible idea, really, as much as
I hate
it.
Some networking. At least a Facebook group.
Facebook, man, that doesn't work out. People don't win.
Yeah. We'll MySpace it up.
Also, there's comments now on the site, so put some comments on.
Yeah, comments on the 401 page. Comments on our blog. We love them. We read them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, talk back to us, guys. We want to hear from you.
Tell us what you want. We'll do it.
That's not true. I may not do it. Well, there's a lot of bad
ideas. Tell us what you don't want. We won't do it, like the singing thing.
Eh, even then I might do it. What if someone's like, stop talking about Final Fantasy, Christ.
Oh, we won't do that.
God.
But we will read and consider, briefly as it may be, your feedback.
All I'm going to say is that on my wrestling column, I have a policy to include every single email I get, no matter how bad. So
unedited, too. It's fun.
Yeah. So, you know, I very well may carry that policy over here. All right. We're really going to close out. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.